All right. Good afternoon, everyone. It is currently 12:02. This is Molly, and you are listening to Chatting with Molly on 91.5 FM. This is WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And that was Lake Street Dive with Bad Self Portraits, a classic jam. In the studio today, we have a lovely guest. Guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, yes. My name is Claire Dunn. I am a housemate and friend of Molly's, so I get to chat with her a fair amount.
Oh, yeah. And now we're doing it live on air.
Live on air.
So, Claire, in the classic Chat with Molly style, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, Molly, my breakfast doesn't change. Every day, I have yogurt. And I have this granola that's this unbaked that I really like a lot. And I put in some frozen blueberries.
Frozen blueberries. Yeah. That you heat up.
Yeah, in some warm water.
In some warm water.
And a recent addition to my breakfast is the some quality coffee. I got an espresso machine.
And what do we call really, this espresso machine?
The espresso machine is called DeLonghi after its brand, but it's also just a really nice name for a machine that is well-loved.
Definitely is. And before we get much further, just want to give a shout-out to DJ D Last Hour. Great show. And we here at Chatting with Molly love being at the time slot right after you. So thanks for gracing us with some nice tunes. But I do have the privilege of seeing Claire's breakfast most mornings, and she is the most consistent breakfast eater I've ever seen. And you know what you like, and it's pretty impressive, this espresso machine also.
Oh, yeah.
Really has stepped up your morning routine.
Oh yeah, the quality of life has significantly increased, and the caffeine levels at all times as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. As some of my viewers probably know, as in my dad, my most consistent viewer, which I think he's listening from New Zealand right now.
Oh, wow, that's
crazy.
Yeah,
it's like 6 a.m. in New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
And I am not really a coffee drinker, but I do love that steamed milk, that steamer attachment.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, so how's it going, Claire?
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have a class on Wednesday mornings that's 3 hours long, which is kind of a rough
way
to start the day.
It's
over now.
Yeah.
So.
Man, at least, does that mean your Monday mornings are like free?
Yeah.
Okay, because tomorrow Tufts has a Monday schedule for those of you who don't go to this lovely school. And so that'll be nice, you have tomorrow morning off.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what's the 3-hour class?
It's a women in health. It's a community health class. A lot of it is like policy stuff, which as a biology major, I haven't really encountered too much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to learn about kind of the other side of health for me.
Does it make you feel like that is a side that you'd be interested in the future?
Possibly. I think more as just like a intellectual kind of pursuit of just like knowing what's going on kind of on the other side of healthcare. But I am more interested at this point in like providing healthcare rather than kind of implementing.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
Man, it's so complicated. There's like, I always like to think about humans as animals.
Yeah.
And all that we've made and developed and compared to like iguanas.
Yeah.
Like iguanas don't have hospitals or healthcare or this idea, as in some countries, like socialized healthcare.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like everyone chips in for everyone's general health.
Yeah.
Which is just like pretty wild that we've just done this.
Yeah, I was actually taking this class earlier this semester, which I did drop in the end, but I did learn a couple of things, and it was primate social behavior, and it was all about how these different primates, monkeys, just like are in groups and how they like mark their territory and how they deal with each other and like how many like females to a male is common. And it just like was all these things that we would study. And it just struck me every class that we are primates that are looking at these other things. And we're so impressed by them being able to like groom each other.
Right.
But look what we're doing, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
monkeys so crazy. Should be impressed with us.
Yeah.
They should be like, they have heating?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, I don't really care about your leaping because I can walk, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a question about your, so we study just about everything in this world, right? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to think of the like research industry as still a leg of like capitalism and not but like in order to do research, you need money. And like who's funding you begs the question of like, why are we funding you?
Absolutely.
And I often think about, we know like so much about like seahorses, let's say, mm-hmm. right? Just like really we've really explored so many things, mm-hmm. but do we have such an interest to know like the low level cellular activity of seahorses because it matters to us? Because I feel like there's so mm-hmm. much study on primates mm-hmm. generally, and I think we love doing that because it tells us more about humans. Mm-hmm. And then we can be like, oh, monkeys respond when we spray them with water. Well, mm-hmm. how do humans do when we punish them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if like a lot of our research is for like selfish, not self, but like to learn more about humans in one way or another, or mm-hmm. if we're like actually care about seahorses.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are a lot of factors that go into what is being funded at a current time.
Yeah.
And, I think I'm not like too knowledgeable on like evolutionary biology research. But that's definitely, it's become a bigger like area of interest. Like mm-hmm. where do we come from? But also how are these cells that are basically the same cells that we have with different like levels of DNA,
mm-hmm.
how are they like adapting to their environment? And what does that tell us about how we got here?
Right.
And so I think that if they're with any research now, you, in order to get a grant, you have to make it very relevant, like
to humans or relevant to just like having knowledge.
Well, both. There has to, just like there has to be a very clear purpose of what okay. your research is going to help.
Okay.
'Cause it's a very like very competitive field. I was actually talking to my PI, which is principal investigator in the cancer research lab that I'm working in, and she is an amazing woman, but she definitely kind of had this idea of so much of it is pretty much luck. Like you have to like work really hard to stay in academics and like just kind of happen upon something that strikes a chord with people that mm-hmm. Seems interesting and relevant and like it actually is going to move the field forward. And sometimes it's hard to find, and sometimes yeah. it also like self-perpetuates because once you like get one grant, you do more research, you get more into it, you gather right. more ideas, you can like train other people and like do more research. So really the people that like start becoming successful kind of snowball, whereas a lot of people right. just like have to go to commercial research yeah. or like other things, because if you just like don't have that idea, it's kind of
yeah
it's kind of a hard road to go down.
Man, that means you really have to attach yourself as like a grad student pretty early to yeah. like a very successful lab, so that you're building a foundation of like yeah. okay, then I can show credentials.
Yeah. And I think also yeah, the success of the lab is important, but also just like how you fare in the lab and like what mentors you can kind of.
Right.
Because most of it is just like, how do I find people that can help me write grants, and what's going to be important, and how do I figure that out? It's just niche knowledge that you need other people to kind of help you out with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a light going off back there, but no caller seems to be. Do you see that white box back
oh, yeah.
there? Huh. Well, caller, if you know me personally, shoot me a text and tell me that you're calling, because I don't really know what that light does. But I guess it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact, callers, I don't know how to answer you off air. So if you call, I will put you directly on air. And that can be a fun little thing we do. Yeah.
It's always a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've learned a lot since the last time I was on your show.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Claire was on my very first show. Mm-hmm. It was at 6 a.m.
Yep. That was
and
early.
To be honest, I was so nervous that my access wouldn't work. And I had Claire and another friend of ours, Moose, on. And I was walking to the station. I was like, oh my God, I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. Why would I bring two guests on at 6 in the morning my first time? I'm yep. such an idiot.
No, we were there for it worked to out. Support you two.
Thanks. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then I think a highlight of that show was, so not only do callers call into the station to like talk to the DJ, but also if another DJ needs access, you can call up and be like, "Hey, I'm downstairs. Can you come get me?"
Yeah.
And that happened, and yep. I put them right on air. I was like, "Hello, caller." They're like,
"Similar problem."
Yep. Can I get access? I was like, okay, yes, be right there.
Well, it's maybe fun yeah. for our listeners to hear the kind of domestic yeah. part of the radio show. Because
oh,
we
yeah.
never hear that
Take
kind of stuff.
Take down that curtain.
Yeah.
Really,
what is really going on in the media these days?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say chatting with Molly is really fundamental in the media landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Such
it's
a big
really
player.
Pivotal and really yeah. influences a lot of people, I think.
Us and our 12 listeners.
Well, that's more than we had before.
It's true. Yeah, upward yeah. trend.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, I'm glad you've seen some growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the show.
I mean, it's easier when you have a daylight kind of time slot.
Yeah, it's true.
When you're feeling a little bit more awake yeah. than 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm feeling more awake than 6 a.m.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes.
It's interesting. Sorry, this is a bit of a related topic, not really related to 6 a.m., but I was okay. talking to my aunt
yes.
who had her own radio show for a long time.
What?
Yeah.
Like as a student or as an adult?
Both.
So that's
she
so fun.
Worked for WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Oh,
for her
nice.
Adult life, yeah. And she had her own show, The Kathleen Dunn Show.
What?
And yeah, she was very, very successful. And it was really cool to talk to her about this. But actually, we were talking about how she got into it. And she had a college radio show as well.
Okay.
And she loved playing Broadway show tunes.
Okay.
But she actually went to Iowa State.
Nice!
Yeah,
and oh my gosh.
Molly is from Iowa, as the
yes,
listeners
I
might
am.
Know. And she loved these Broadway show tunes, but no one really liked Broadway show tunes. So she wasn't very popular. But she just loved doing it, so she just played
yeah,
them. And
of
then
course.
She like started working for a couple different radio kind of producers. One of them was like a commercial one. And then after a couple, well, in the beginning, they put her on the AM frequency.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at like 7 in the morning on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And so no one really wanted to listen to yeah. her music at that time. But she actually like started doing some interesting stuff. So they moved her to the FM station.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Wait, was she playing music on the 7 a.m.? Was she still doing like Broadway show tunes?
No, she was, like, started chatting. Doing like a talk show. Yeah.
Okay,
and then
nice.
Later when she went to like National Public Radio, she did a lot of talk shows and she would interview authors and get all these people involved.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Very cool
wow.
lady.
Man, I would love to talk to your aunt about Iowa.
Yeah.
And her, because oh, she
yeah.
grew up in Milwaukee.
Yep. No, in Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago. Okay.
Lives in Milwaukee now.
Got it.
Yeah.
Lives in Milwaukee now. Yeah. The NPR and all of their like local affiliates mm-hmm. is just such an awesome organization. And it's one of those organizations that's really took on like evolve or dissolve, I think.
Yeah.
You'd think radio would be like yesteryear.
Yeah.
But with podcasts being so so popular now, they've really just kind of like shifted mm-hmm. their model. And now mm-hmm. it's like a hot place to work.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
So good for them
mm-hmm.
adapting.
And I was actually thinking about why that might be. And I think maybe a lot of, as like research gets more evolved, it almost becomes harder for people to figure it out. And NPR just does this great job of like taking a topic and condensing like interesting like subjects and like talking to people, and so you can like hear their voice, and it's not just like an abstract that you read,
right?
Which I think there's like just such a big need for that kind of communication link,
right? As like as you said, research becomes more complicated, it's like exponentially more important for lay people to like understand it.
And so much harder to do without any sort of background.
I think it was with your family that we are talking about different research has a different life like span or expectancy of when it's published in an academic paper to when it becomes common knowledge around like around normal people. And like, you know, biological research might have a much larger time span or even never become common knowledge.
Yeah.
But like psych studies where they show smell is linked to memory could actually become common knowledge like quicker.
Yeah.
And so I think it'd be very cool to kind of graph out what type of research and map how long it takes to get to people.
Yeah. And that also maybe has to do inherently with the field. I feel like in a lot of psychology studies, a lot of the results are pretty directly recognizable.
Yeah, you see
to like regular
life.
People. Yeah. Just like, oh, that have nothing to do with it.
Right.
Whereas a lot of times with kind of this bio, also engineering, kind of biomedical engineering stuff, it's just like a little forward knowledge that like doesn't really apply to you, just like helps maybe someone else in 10 years, you know?
And then I also have been thinking about how we just like reap the benefit of such complex knowledge all the time, like computers or medicine, right? We take this pill and it does this magic stuff, and there's like, or we like press this button and it like does this magic stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you learn about it, you kind of like, you take what you can use and then you kind of go backwards. You're like, okay, like we have this computer and how does a computer work? But all like, you really know nothing, but you have access to these like end of process results.
When you're studying it, you mean?
Yeah, or just like in life or when you're studying.
Okay.
But what if you could only have access and use things that like you properly know, right? So it's like you don't have to discover the wheel or invent it, but you do have to like be taught about it before you can like use a bike. You know? Or like the fundamentals of computers, let's like boil it down to like binary, like voltages on and off to like developing binary as a language to like converting binary to ASCII keys. That's like a really big step. I just kind of mulled over like 100 things. And then like ASCII to like Word doc, right? If you like weren't allowed to use,
to use Word
until you fully understand binary,
you would never get anything done.
Right. No, like everyone would be like, what's 1001?
Yeah.
But I just think it's kind of wild that we just get to like skip to the end. Like if I was in a time machine and put back to like 500, right? And I'd be like, guys, like there's these things in the future called computers. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, like build one for me. Like, okay, show me. I was like, well,
I don't know how. Okay, I know how to use it.
I know how to open the Word doc. I don't know how to build a computer. And it'd be pretty, I think people wouldn't really believe me. I'd really have no proof.
It's hard to say once you get used to the just like the face of it, you know,
you're not overhauled process.
You're not using any of the, or you're not learning about anything else.
Exactly.
That goes on in the background.
Like I get to just take Advil whenever I want. And I have no idea the paths in which it like delivers. I mean, I do a little bit, but I don't know like I wouldn't be able to derive it, like, yeah. make it, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, yeah. I guess yeah. it's, like, efficiency yeah, of community.
Yeah, people do specialize in what they're interested in and what they're good at. But,
yeah. No, yeah. Everyone needs to be binary.
But,
binary.
I mean, you're still doing that kind of thing in terms of, like, computer as, like, a software creator. You need to know exactly, like, what are these languages? What do I do with them? How do I yeah. build up functions and things?
Yeah.
And so you're doing that in a different way.
Right.
Because I will just use the app that you create, you know? I don't know
but
how you made it.
What really made me think about this is like, yes, they're attempting to be like, okay, here's a microprocessor. This is like a tiny little computer. Mm-hmm. And like, this was a foundation of what big computers are like now.
Yeah.
But there's still such a gap. Like,
yeah.
They've tried to boil it down so small,
uh-huh.
and there's such still a big gap that made me think, like, holy buckets. Like, I'm trying to go the smallest I can, and I still have no idea what's really yeah. going on, which is, like, super crazy.
It's really wild.
To know these guys we carry around in our backpacks can just do, like, unbelievable yeah. amounts of processing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty magical.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. So what else is up?
Well, I'm not sure. I was wondering, like, what was your... Well, you're a mechanical engineer with a special interest in computer science.
It's true.
But you have this radio show, and you have all these interests. So how did you, like... stumble upon radio? What was it that made you interested in
it? That is such a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about, I forget how I first learned about radio. I think I just like heard about, oh, there's like a student radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I saw a poster or something. And then I saw the GIM, which is general interest meeting at Tufts. And I was like, well, I might as well just go. And I was talking to my friend Anna Jerka.
Mm-hmm.
This was like summer before sophomore year. And it was like, wouldn't you want a forum just to like talk? Almost like a soap, but like a microphone that isn't plugged into anything.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like if you post a video, like a vlog on Facebook, there's just like all these people who are gonna see it.
Yeah.
Right? That like maybe you don't want to. And it was so intriguing, the idea of having like a show by myself dedicated to talking about whatever I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, my dad would be listening and like, yeah, I'd post about it and like maybe some people listen.
Uh-huh.
But it's really just like me shouting into the wind and like
the void.
Right. And me just getting to like talk and have very little repercussions.
Yeah.
Or like social accountability about
it.
And that was so intriguing.
Yeah.
And so I like checked it out, got trained, like applied for a show, started doing it and was like, this is actually so fun.
Yeah.
And having a show by myself is amazing because I can like bring on new guests every week and I can like talk about whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's just like something weird that I thought would be cool to check out. And I didn't really think like, oh, I'm going to do this for the rest of college.
Uh-huh.
But turns out it's like pretty sweet.
Here you are.
Here I am.
Climbing up the ladder of times.
Oh, yeah. We got open block right now.
Prime.
Yeah. Pretty prime time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I do have a lot of interests.
Yeah. You certainly do.
Yeah.
And some of them fall outside of your kind of specialty. But you do have an interest in mechanical engineering in the end.
I hope so.
Yeah. Over the past few years that I've known Molly, there's been some back and forth between if mechanical engineering is what she wants to do or whether she would rather do something like computer science, like focus on that full time. But what is it that really draws you about mechanical engineering?
Yeah, so this is not like, I think when the admissions office wants to shape their like admitted students day, and they like bring in people, their ideal answer would be like, oh, I was just like inspired by mm-hmm. this, and I feel so like excited, and it's like the right path for me. And mm-hmm. there was like, maybe there's like some story about like a light bulb moment, like this is for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like don't have that.
Yeah.
I still, like, someone asked me my major Sunday night. We had like a Frisbee formal. And this was like another junior, like I'm a junior, right?
Yeah.
Junior spring. And I just look at them and go, I don't really know my major yet. And I've been declared since March of freshman year. And he goes, yeah. Well, what do you, oh, are you a freshman? Like, what do you mean? And I was like, yeah, I don't, who really knows? And I mean, that's just kind of me being coy about like, the real answer yeah. is I just kind of picked an option that was broad
mm-hmm.
and picked an option that I knew I could get behind
mm-hmm.
a couple aspects of it for sure.
Okay.
And like hopefully, ideally, the idea is that doing this will allow me to pursue things I'm really interested in, like energy.
Okay.
Like some schools have like energy engineering,
yeah.
and I'd for sure want to do that.
Yeah.
But that's like pretty, pretty specialized,
okay.
and not a lot of places have it. But I just kind of, man, this is like a rant of an answer right now.
No, it's
but,
good.
But I think. Yeah, this is also not a fairy tale answer. When I was applying to schools, they kind of want you to like quote declare on
yeah.
your application,
right.
which is like so dumb because
yeah.
people never know. But every school I just apply, I like declared something different. Some like this was the only engineering one. The others were like econ, psych, and poli sci.
Yeah.
And then this one happened to be engineering, and I decided to go here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was more than just declaring a major. I was like applying to a specific school.
Right.
And so that kind of had an impact. And so I just kind of got here, and inertia, I guess, made me stick in. Okay. On a calling line right now, we have my father. Let's see if we can get this to work from straight from New Zealand. Hello, caller, are you with us?
Yes, hello, this is your father. How are you, beautiful?
Hello, it's so good to hear from you. Do you want to tell us where you are?
Yes, I am on the deck of the Queen Victoria, 200 miles northeast of the coast of New Zealand.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that is quite far away from where we are. And what time is it there?
It is about 6:30 a.m., but that's 6:30 a.m. Thursday, other side of the International Day.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
So we have a caller from the future.
Here's what's going on.
Yeah.
I can tell you what your day's going to be like.
Oh, yeah. So how's it going? Do you want to give us a little recap of the ship and your life?
Oh, you bet. I'm Molly's father. I got on, I'm retired. I got on the Queen Victoria. I've been on the Queen Victoria many times before in San Francisco, February 6th. And I've been on for like 2 weeks, and I'm on for another 4 weeks. We're off the coast of New Zealand. We go to New Zealand, Australia, Hong Kong, Vietnam. And then I get off at Singapore the end of March. It's been wonderful. It's been fantastic. I don't want to get off the ship.
Well, you won't have to
for a while.
For a while, but I'm planning after that. I'm thinking of being one of those older dance guys who the ship hires to dance with the old ladies at night. They're going to free cabin. So I'm thinking of doing that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'd be a good gig.
I'm having a wonderful, wonderful time. I mean, I miss my wife and Molly and the boys, but other than that, it's just terrific. I mean, a very nice table with a lot of nice bricks.
That's amazing.
I'm learning to be British.
Wow, how's that
proper.
Going?
How's things in Boston?
Things are pretty good. Weather is, I would say, mild for Boston. Uh-huh. We had a Frisbee practice yesterday in which we shoveled the field before we played on it.
Yeah, that was most of practice, shoveling.
Yeah. But, Dad, do you want to tell us where you have been so far?
Yeah, so we left San Francisco. It was actually pretty cold and choppy. We went to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Then we went to Samoa. I've been corrected that it's not pronounced Samoa. It's pronounced Samoa. And then we were in Tonga 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And now we're on our way to New Zealand, Tauranga, New Zealand, and Auckland. Then another place in New Zealand. Then we go to Australia. We're going to Sydney. Or we end in Sydney. And I actually have tickets to the opera in Sydney Opera House. We dock by the Sydney Opera House, and I have tickets that night for Verde.
Wow, that's going to be amazing. I hope you take a lot of pictures in front of that opera house.
I will.
That's great. So what do you...
Well, it's good to hear your voice, you beautiful girl.
You can ask, Claire.
Well, what do you do on the boat? Do you, like, read a lot of books, or what do you entertain yourself with?
There's a lot to do during the day. A lot of people ask that, but there's really a lot to do, and it's more often a choice of do I do A or B rather than there's anything to do.
Nice.
Like, there's a lot of lectures, and Kanoi is known for its lectures. You know, it's not known for its evening entertainment. A lot of the cruise lines are, you know, Broadway quality shows.
Mm-hmm.
Kanoi doesn't do that. There's, like, you know, some guy from London with a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have good lecturers on a lot of, you know, maritime history, obviously British history, the destinations you're going to. I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie,
wow,
on board.
Cool.
I had not seen
nice.
Before.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. Oh, I loved it. That was a very good movie. Nah, you could have seen it at home. You have to come on a ship to see it. But there's a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of exercise. Just sort of walking exercise. There's a lovely promenade deck. There's
nice.
Actually two. And yeah, I put on headphones and sunglasses, and I just sort of walk. Do a lot of walking on the ship.
Nice. Wow.
Which I enjoy.
That sounds lovely. I want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I want to talk Molly into coming with me.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Good. I'm going to wish you the best and go, because it's like $20 a minute on
okay.
the satellite.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks for calling in, Dad.
Yeah.
Be well, sweet girl.
Love you very
much. Love you very much. Claire, nice to hear your voice.
You too,
Molly. Molly, love you very much. Be well.
Bye. Oh, man. Always good to have that guy calling in.
Yeah.
He's really a dedicated listener.
Yeah.
Not only will he call in at my 6 a.m. show when I'm up at 6 a.m., but he'll even wake up at 6 a.m. in New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we were talking about, like, majors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, you asked me about my choice. I remember mm-hmm. freshman year, I was just so disgruntled about the fact that I couldn't explore freshman year.
Yeah.
And I had a really big problem with that because my dad has been like, my dad loved his college experience. And like, he was like, oh, I took a film class. I took a philosophy class. And it was like so enlightening. And I was like, oh, well, I'm not doing that. That's annoying. But then I just come to realize like, there are other ways to learn in the world. And I made a really big effort freshman year to attend like different speaking events from people. And I felt like, oh, I can go listen to, a ex-governor of New Mexico come talk. And that's going to be kind of give me my poli-sci for the week. And and that's enough. And I can do other things than learn from just the classes.
Yeah.
So that's how I reconciled my discomfort. Yeah.
And I guess it's also, you're just kind of in a different field, you know? You have to, as an engineer, you have to take these five classes every semester and everything is planned out for you.
Yeah.
There's very little leeway, which is too bad because that was like a big reason for me to do liberal arts and come to the U.S.
Right.
But it's, yeah, there, you still get kind of on these campuses where like a lot of people are very engaged with the surroundings, that you still have a lot of other ways to learn outside of an academic setting.
Yeah.
Which is good, but it's too bad. It's like cool to kind of branch out.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of silly that engineering is like the exception to the American system. Mm-hmm. It almost would make more sense that you get like, just like you can't really major in pre-med. You can't like major in like doctor, right? So it'd almost be like, oh, you know, if you want to do engineering, you major in physics, or you major in math, or you major in like electricity. I don't know. Like,
just have more of a track.
Something more general. And then you go to grad school just like doctors have to. And it's pretty weird that like you can go to school for 4 years and then go build a bridge that's like impacting public safety.
Yeah.
Where every other profession that's impacting public safety, including like lawyers, can't just go practice. And it's kind of weird that you can just get a technical degree in 4 years and then start doing stuff.
It's wild. And that and comp sci, I feel like, are the two major
kind
of areas where you can do that.
But I think that like I complain about engineering a lot, but I have always been very like longing for the workforce. And it's nice that I'm in a major that I can go do the workforce.
That's true.
Cause I know like I have a friend Talia who's a like archaeology major, or maybe like anthropology or something. She's like, I can't get a job just with this. I have to go do a PhD or at least like a hefty master's.
Something more education in the future.
So
do you have any sort of mechanical engineer mentors or role models that you that inspire you?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's hard because my professors haven't been a super they've been really good mentors, but not for like what path they've chosen, because just by inherently the structure of academia, the people who are teaching my classes are the people who chose to get PhDs in something, to do research, to be professors. And I definitely don't want that. I would probably, there's like a really, really small chance I would ever end up in academia. And so it's kind of hard to see that path. But there is this one professor who just became a professor, and she worked for the Department of Energy for like 6 years and has definitely done more applicable stuff. And so I've like sent her a couple emails. She's very busy, doesn't really respond. But hopefully I'll be able to like nail her down for a lunch or something to kind of talk to her. But mentors, I really like have been looking towards other students more so than professors, which is tough because that's only seeing like a year or two down the line. And it'd be nice to have like a hefty 10 to 15 year insight.
Kind of see a path.
But what about you? Have you felt like Madeline, your PI, is probably someone, but do you have like other kind of sources of mentorship?
I mean, I think similar to what you're saying, everyone that is close to me is in academics and they're professors. And a lot of them have done very interesting research, but research is not maybe exactly what I'm interested in doing long term. So yeah, I have definitely found some people that inspire me. Actually, recently I've been talking a lot to my mom about these kinds of things because she's a doctor. And it's funny because kind of inherent to growing up, there's always a certain point where you kind of have aversion to what your parents do and what they think and everything. And so in high school, I was just like, I am not becoming a doctor. I am not doing that. There's no way. Now I realize, that I really like that, and I think that that would be my way. But kind of coming.
That's hilarious.
Seeing these things later on, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, similar to you, I know a couple people that are like in med school that are like a few years out.
Yeah.
And it just seems stressful, to be honest. There's not really much fun until much later on.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Talk about delayed gratification.
Yeah,
jeez.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. My dad was is a lawyer, but practiced for a large majority of his life. And he was very stern on, like, you three kids, don't become, like, none of you should become lawyers.
Wow.
Like, yeah, some people should be lawyers in their life, and you three should not. And I don't know, like, if he just didn't want that for his kids or if there's something about us that he actually thinks we wouldn't enjoy law.
Hmm.
But, yeah, and it's almost like, if I didn't have that influence, I probably would be down that path because I am kind of naturally interested in a lot of that stuff. Like, I mean, he has a very good point in that it seems a lot more glamorous than it really is.
Yeah.
Like the law I read about in the paper, or like there's a site Oyez that does Supreme Court summaries of like all their cases, and those are like very interesting to read over, but that's just like the interesting stuff, the creme of the creme in the field. And so like anyone can get interested about that, and it's like the boring stuff that real lawyers have to do. So I don't know.
Well, it's good to kind of figure these things out.
I wonder, I would love to see, I'm sure there's been studies on it, but a look at like percent in a given field, percent that their parent is also that. I feel like doctors have a high, as a profession, have a higher retention from child to.
I think that's true. I think it also kind of starts becoming a perpetuating thing where if your parents are doctors, then like there's a higher likelihood that you're like, for one, having dinner at a dinner table every night instead of watching like TV or something like a show.
Right.
And so that like already makes you more likely to pick up on what your parents are talking about and like have that kind of conversation. And then this isn't just for doctors, but just like that kind of seems to be a trend. And then you kind of know a little bit more about that. And then whenever something comes up, you have a little bit more knowledge, so you feel a bit more comfortable. And then it kind of starts going that down that road. Whereas I think that's a little bit different maybe with engineering, because the like the activation, or like I want to say activation energy,
the like barrier
is so high, you know, it's hard to talk about.
That's true.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I wonder, because that like process you just described logically could apply to anything, but I wonder which fields it applies more so than others.
Yeah.
I think doctors probably comes up because everyone experiences health issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then if it's like, oh yeah, when I'm sick, my mom tells me what to do.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, when my car breaks, my dad fix it. It's like engineers do more things than like what you interact with.
Exactly, yeah.
But I wonder how engineers break down, because I've always felt, especially in high school and even in like this like robotics class I'm taking, people will come in and be like, oh yeah, in fourth grade I like built a computer with my dad and I like soldered a table together. That actually didn't make sense because you solder metal and
well, you can have metal tables.
Yeah, maybe. And I definitely don't feel like I did any of that. And so I wonder if like a lot of my high school friends who are engineers, all their parents are engineers also.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, I wonder what professions are more likely to be passed down and what aren't.
Yeah. And maybe that gives you a little peace of mind because you actively are choosing this instead of just passively.
Man, I must really like it.
Yeah. I'm convinced, Molly, you're actually in love with engineering.
It is true that there's like a lot of things that are very good and suit my learning style that I don't recognize day to day because I just take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Or I take, And so, yeah, I think I've had a fine education thus far, and
it's going all right.
Yeah, hopefully you'll spit me out and let me do some cool stuff afterwards. Yeah. But you, Miss Claire, mm-hmm. are interested in, some would say, two sides of one industry, but others might describe as two industries, kind of journalism and writing, and then bio and health and medicine.
Yes.
So how did you talked about your mom kind of like being an influence on, well, maybe not, but mm-hmm. Being a mentor towards your interest in medicine, but where did your like writing interest come from?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this. I think, so I decided to start taking a lot of English classes because I like them, and I mostly like the like literature reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe comes from when I was a kid, I would love to read, but I had like this second, like I grew up in the Netherlands, so I learned Dutch. But I had this second kind of interest in English,
mm-hmm.
And I really liked written English much more than written Dutch.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it's like, in Dutch is kind of strange, I guess, because maybe I only learned kind of academic, well, like written works, I would read like academic books
right.
more than books for fun.
Right.
Which kind of, the language is very different written down than when you're speaking it, and it feels very formal and very distant, and I couldn't feel like, I didn't really relate to any of the characters I was reading about, I guess. And so I much preferred reading in English.
Yeah.
And then kind of that just kind of perpetuated, and I really enjoyed books. And then when I came to college, I was like, oh, I just like to, I couldn't read books for a class and get credit for it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I took some English classes, and then actually only recently kind of got into more of the writing aspect of English. And yeah, I really enjoy it so far. I kind of was thinking about this yesterday because a lot of time for classes, I'll just have to like study a lot and like learn a lot of things. And that requires a certain kind of brain power and sort of energy level. Whereas for writing, I can do it forever. Like the writing gets worse when I'm tired, but it doesn't like, I don't feel like I have to stop, or I don't feel like, oh, this is like too much. I can't do any this anymore.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing, I think.
Is good.
And that's nice to have something like that.
Yeah,
but they're definitely very different. And I also, for a while, was interested in like the intersection of like biology and writing.
Mm-hmm.
In kind of like, how do we communicate research and how do we do that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
But similar to what you were saying about law, I think that the day-to-day is really boring.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of like kind of going through research articles and like kind of trying to write it up in a way that's interesting and that maybe is not the best for me. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
See You'll where figure that takes it out. Me, you know?
Yeah. Well, Claire also, like she mentioned, is from the Netherlands, and med school is on such different paths.
Yeah.
And we'll be rooting for her to pick that American path. But the decision is up to her.
Mm-hmm.
But if callers want to call in and weigh in your opinion, I'm sure Claire would really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's 12:50, and do you want to, should I read a PSA or should I play one?
Play one, probably.
Play one, okay. So we have like PSAs we can just run and someone else. Those are kind of fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Let's see. Pet adoption, mediagirls.org. That sounds interesting.
Let's do that one.
Okay. Let's see.
We're giving social media a makeover.
How many tries does it take to get the perfect photo?
The average girl spends 3 hours a day using social media.
48% of teens report feeling lonely and less confident in themselves after using social media.
After the iPhone release in 2007, the depression rate in teens spiked.
To learn how to make social media a more positive place, go to mediagirls.org. Follow Media Girls on Instagram and use the hashtag MGMakeover.
All right. Well, thank you, Media Girls, for that PSA.
Wow.
Wow. That is not really what I expected.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, the landscape of social media is pretty wild.
It's interesting that their kind of solution is to follow them on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, 3 hours a day, though? I was not aware of that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's a lot.
That is a lot.
So, my family has been talking about Instagram a lot lately because my cousins, I have these two first cousins, they're twins,
mm-hmm.
and they started a business about 5 or 6 years ago providing social media services to businesses.
Okay.
And it's like worked out. They have like a bunch of clients. They like a lot of clients that don't know how to like properly use their reach or like what, it's kind of like branding, but instead of shaping a brand on like your media campaign, it's like shaping a brand as your account.
Hmm.
And so they doing that, and then obviously like they are gorgeous girls and have like had like acquired a pretty big following on their personal accounts.
Okay.
And so now they've become just like these influencers, they uh-huh. call them. And brands who don't want really their like them to run their accounts, but they just want like sponsorship of yeah. their items
yeah.
and paid posts and stuff. So now they do that. So like their full-time job is just Instagram.
Wow.
Right? And it's pretty wild. And they like update their whole life, like they story all mm-hmm. day, every day.
Yeah.
And so it's cool that I get to like keep up with my cousins.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jackie's in Mexico for a wedding. That's fun. Like
yeah.
oh, they got a new dog. Nice.
Uh-huh.
But it's weird that like there's my cousins and they're not like learning the same about me
because
I'm not updating.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
It is. And it's just like a new form of kind of like marketing. It's just very personal to
right.
people like that right. they target, the audience that they
target.
And it
makes like normal people have such a reach. Like usually brands would have to pay celebrities hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to endorse.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can, it's almost like grassroots advertising.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, because they're big in Montreal and Toronto. Like they're not big everywhere
mm-hmm.
and they're definitely not like household names in a way that like Jennifer Aniston is a household name.
Yeah.
And so then you just like pay instead of hundreds of thousands of Jennifer Aniston, like 1,000 to 100 local people. And it honestly becomes probably more effective.
Maybe.
So yeah, what a shift. But they're trying to start a podcast.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, let me tell you about sound production.
I know about broadcasting.
Yeah. But so I hope that works out for them.
That's
and
cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of a different, it's weird when your life is kind of on portrayal for everyone to see.
Yeah, for sure.
It makes it kind of impersonal maybe, but
right.
also hard to, I don't know. It just seems really hard to me. It seems like it would be.
Yeah. And they, it's funny, they're the type of people who, like, have always wanted to be in the spotlight. They've always, mm-hmm. they, like, love reality TV. They actually got pitched. There were, like, 80 different ideas for a new show on E!, which mm-hmm. is the network that airs, like, Keeping Up with the Kardashians and mm-hmm. stuff. And they were one of the 80. And then it got pared down to 5, and they were in the 5.
Like, to make a show about them? Or?
Yeah, about them.
Oh, okay.
Like, twins who live lives. I don't really know.
Okay.
And they, like, filming crew came out, and they did this whole pilot of them.
Oh my gosh.
And they got pitched, but they didn't make it.
Jeez.
But they were in that top 5, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
But they're, like, okay, one husband actually, like, is okay with Spotlight and, like, is fine with it. But one of the other husbands is just, like, so not into it. And it's, like, so not his thing. Which is, honestly, like, their marriage is so good. Like, they are such a good team because they really, like, balance each other out. But it's, like, a whole, if your work then like starts intruding on your family, yeah. it's
and when your work crazy. Is your personal life,
right?
That's really complicated.
Right. Exactly. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I'd want that. Maybe some. I'd be okay if like if I really was passionate about my work. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of, like, high-powered jobs, like, your work does become your personal life.
Yeah.
Like, the president doesn't get a personal life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more that, like, yeah, some jobs, your work becomes your personal life. And then on this type of thing, yeah. your personal life becomes your work.
Yeah.
Which is way stickier.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hard to draw a line at that yeah. point.
All right, we are rounding out this hour. Time really wow. flies on Chatting with Molly. This is DJ Molly with our guest Claire. You're listening to Chatting with Molly. It's 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Claire, do you have any lasting words, some nice advice for our listeners, or any message you want to shout out there?
Well, I have really enjoyed this radio show, and I
Me
hope
too.
To be back. I'm sorry we didn't get to more music if listeners were into that, but you'll just have to
listen to the wrong show.
Yeah, you just gotta find a Spotify account or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it.
Great.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Oh, man, we are up to 13 listeners.
Nice.
That is huge.
Welcome, 13th listener.
Welcome. all right, so I'm just going to put on some music, and we will call it a day. Thanks for tuning in. This is Chatting with Molly, and we will see you next week. See ya. Let's see if this works.